Glory to God. Yeah. Praise God. Well, go ahead and be seated. Praise the Lord. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. I want to share some things with you this morning from the book of Daniel, chapter 3. You know, the Word of God is relevant for every age, for every time, for every day. It never passes away. It never gets old. And it works. Praise God. You know, there's a lot of people that know what the Word of God says. They just don't know that it works. And if the Word don't work, then it's just a history book. But it's a living book. Praise God. Jesus, the Word made flesh, is the living Word. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Daniel chapter 3, I'm going to read verse 1 and then verse 4 and 6. Daniel 3, 1 and then verse 4 and verse 6. It says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, the height of which was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits, and he set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And then the herald loudly proclaimed, "To you the command is given, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. Whoever does not fall down and worship, but immediately, he will immediately be cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire." So the king sets up this golden image, and he calls all the government officials, and he tells them that when the music is played, everyone in the nation is to fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not worship the golden image, and notice what he said, they would immediately be cast into the furnace of blazing fire. Well, verse 12 and 13 then, and it says, "There are certain Jews whom you," he's talking to the king, "you've appointed them king," you know, nothing like throwing somebody under the bus. "There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men, O king, have discarded you, for they do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up." So then Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king. All right, so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're not going to bow to this golden image that the king had made up. So the king gets a little ticked off. In a violent anger and rage, he responds according to that rage and says, "Bring them here. Bring them before me," right? Amen. Verse 14 and 15. It says, "Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, at the moment that you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, fall down and worship the image that I have made. Very well. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire, and what God is there that can deliver you out of my hands?'" Well, didn't the king, first time around, didn't he say, "If you don't bow, you will immediately get cast into the fire," right? Well, now he questions Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he says, "If you don't bow down, you'll immediately be cast into the fire." So therefore, they didn't immediately get cast in the first time, but yet he said immediately they'll get cast in. Isn't that right? So he's giving them another chance. Another chance. And then he finishes up by attacking their God. "What God is there that can deliver you out of my hands?" He's saying that God is not only that he's not able to, but that God wouldn't even do this. He wouldn't even be bothered to deliver you, right? So he's telling them that they're facing certain destruction, so they should comply with his demands. Amen. Well, have you ever heard that talk in your head? Have you ever heard the enemy talk to you in your head? Well, God, he's not going to deliver you. In fact, God can't even deliver you. You're in such a mess. You have messed up your life so totally, there's just no way God can deliver you. Have you heard that before? Yeah. He tries to get you to obey him, or else you're going to face certain destruction. You know, when Pastor Ned was on the ground back in the 90s, about dead, and the Lord said to pray, and I was praying for her, and the voice comes to your head and says, you remember this happened to your daughter, and you got her to the hospital. Within 5 minutes, she would have been dead if she didn't get there in time. You need to get your wife to the hospital or she's going to die. And I responded and said, no, I didn't know God back then with our daughter, but I know God now. He said to pray, and that's what we're going to do. You know, prayer is not begging, right? So we went back to praying again and heard that voice come again and said, you need to get her up off the ground, get her into an ambulance, and get her to the hospital or she's going to die. And I said, no, she's not dying. God said to pray and all will be well. And went back to praying again. And then a voice comes again and says, if you don't get her up and get her to the hospital right now, she will die in your hands. And I said, God said to pray, and if she dies in my hands, God will raise her up. Amen. Well, she's still here. She's on the front row. This is not a clone. This is really her. And she's well and whole. Amen. Glory to God. Are you with me? Because that's our God. So Nebuchadnezzar is telling them, and he's actually declaring that his authority is the greatest. He says, what God is there that can deliver you out of my hands? So he's actually challenging any God. He's actually saying to any God, you come and circumvent my authority. My authority is the highest. Right? So therefore now the conflict is not between Nebuchadnezzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It is now again between Nebuchadnezzar and the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. His name is Jehovah, the Lord God of hosts. Amen? Amen. So, by the king's own words, he's saying this. What God is there that can deliver you? You know, Satan wants you to think that he's in control. If there's anything he wants to do, he uses fear to try to keep control over you. You know, fear is the greatest power over a person for fear. You know, it doesn't matter if it's a controlling person, an abusive person, whatever it might be. Fear. Fear to say anything. Fear to stand up. Fear to be heard. Fear will control you. Are you with me? Amen. Well, that's what Goliath did, didn't he, when he stood up and taunted the armies of God and said, come and fight with me. And if you beat me, we'll serve you. But if we beat you, then you will serve us. Well, why did they make that threat? Because they never thought he would lose. And never thinking somebody would lose has carried on even to our present day. Well, Goliath went down. Goliath lost. And we know the story because we looked at that last week. But I want you to notice Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verses 16 through 18. He says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. All right? He says, we don't need to give you an answer. In other words, we've made our minds up and we don't need to even discuss this. And they could have kept silent, but their decision still would not have changed. Now, we have a major problem here with these verses because there's italicized words in it. And when you see italicized words, which of course you can't see on digital stuff, but in the Bible, there are italicized words, which means the interpreters added words to try to get you to understand. And interpreters are not always your friend. Why can't we just leave it the way it was and stop adding things? So back to verse 17, it says, God, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. Okay? So if it be our God whom we serve is that, you know, that's a very, very important phrase, whom we serve. Whom we serve. Now, if you're not sure on how to serve God, you need to listen to the 9:30 service. You know, this isn't about running around the world and doing all kinds of stuff. Oh, bless God, God's called me to the world, and I'm running to the world, and I'm serving God, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and your life's crap. Are you with me? Don't shout me down now. You serve God with your life as an individual, and it's called change. It's always growing and developing in the things of God so that your life can change. You know, I used to think I had the world by the tail. I mean, my whole life before getting saved was about drugs and alcohol and that whole lifestyle. And I thought I had the world by the tail until the devil come, pull the rug out from under you. And you go into a tumble and you're trying to recover. And maybe you do, but he's just setting you up for the next tumble. But when I got to know the Lord, life became really good. It's not that it don't have its conflicts. It's not that it doesn't have its problems. It's that we are empowered by the grace of God to handle the conflicts and overcome the battles. And we can live in victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So he says here, if it be our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. Now, verse 18 is really where they mess it up. It says, but even if he does not, that's wrong. That's wrong. Because think about it. Even if he don't deliver us. Well, what does that mean if he don't deliver you? It means you're going in the furnace. Well, no wonder you're not going to serve him. You're in the furnace. You're dead. So that's really a goofy way of writing that from the translators. And what it actually says without the italics words in it, it says, if it be, okay, our God whom we serve is able, but if not, we still won't serve you. In other words, if you throw us in the furnace, right, God will deliver us. But even if you've decided not to throw us in the furnace, I'm telling you, we're still not going to serve your gods. That's the way it's actually written. Amen. So here they are standing before the king, being threatened with this furnace of fire. And they're saying, well, if you throw us in, God will deliver us. But if you don't throw us in, we're still not going to serve your gods. Isn't that right? So they have come up with an answer. Notice what they said. We don't even need to give you an answer. Now, why is it that they don't need to give an answer? Because they chose their direction before they got in front of the king. How many times do you not deal with something until you're facing with the garbage in your life? Then finally you decide, I need to do something. Well, you should have dealt with it long before. If you're in the Word of God, you'll see that stuff coming at you and you can deal with it before it gets there. So they made their decision, and they decided on what direction they were going to take not to bow even before they got before the king. So as soon as the decree went out, they made a decision. I ain't going to come near. Nope, not me. As soon as the decree went out, oh, there's a plague out there. It's called COVID. What, are you kidding me? Oh, you know, now there's a bird flu going around. Oh, now there's this going on. Now the economy's tanking. Oh, there's threats of war. See, what are you going to do in the face of this stuff? And when are you going to deal with it in your life? You're going to wait till you get face to face with it? Or are you going to deal with it when that decree went out? The minute that decree went out about COVID nonsense, it was declared. The same God that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me and will quicken my mortal body. No evil shall befall me and no plague come near my dwelling place. Amen. The promise is to me and to my seed. This is protection for my family also. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So when the decree went out, that's when they made their decision. And it has to be a setting of the restored will on the Word of God and on His direction. Great example of what Pastor Ellen gave at 9:30 service, that she knows that she's supposed to be in church. Now, we're talking about even before she was on staff. Because sometimes people are like, well, you're on staff, you have to be here. I don't have to do nothing. I don't have to be here if I don't want to. And neither does the staff. So don't even start in with that stuff. So she was talking about how Pastor Morgan gets perks from the business that he had, and people would give them tickets to go someplace, but it was always on a Sunday. And she would say, no, and they were good, it was good stuff. And she would say, nope, can't go, it's Sunday, I'm going to be in church Sunday. See, because a lot of people go to church thinking they're trying to get brownie points with God, or for whatever reason, you know. You know what I'm talking about because you all been there. We've all been there. And going to church is for one very simple reason. It's like going to the attorney's office and reading the will. Amen. Reading the will. And when you read the will, what do you find out in an attorney's office when there's a reading of the will? You find out where your name is and what's coming to you. Well, that's what the Bible is actually, the reading of the will. There's the old will, and then there's the new will, called the Old Testament, New Testament. Well, the new will has been instituted by the blood of Jesus, and we come to church to hear the will. So we find out what belongs to us, because the devil wants to steal from you. You hear the devil tell you, well, you know, it's God's will that you be sick. Well, that's a lie. Well, you know, God only heals certain people. Liar. Liar. Now, only certain people will believe, but the power of God is available to whoever believes. It's just like getting saved. You know, it says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, and this is not for just anybody, but whoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life. So that's for the whoso. Well, that's the way the kingdom's run. The kingdom is run on the whosoever, if you'll be the one that believes. Now, I'm not talking about, oh, yeah, I believe what that says. Oh, I believe what they said. Oh, I heard them say that. I believe that. No, it's got to be working in your life. You believe it to where it's working in your life. Otherwise, you're only speaking empty words. You've got to get it working in your life. What good is the Bible, the living Word of God, if it's not living in your life? Then it's just a dead history book. But Jesus makes it alive. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit brings that revelation, that understanding, praise God. Isn't that right? Amen. So we have to consider things when the decree goes out. When do you consider things in your life? When they show up, or when you see the truth in the Word of God? The Word of God says he sent his word and healed you and delivered you from all destruction. So do you believe that? And that is your declaration when something contrary shows up? So if sickness attacks you, what are you going to declare to that thing? Where's the antibiotics? No, what are you going to declare? Well, only if your soul gets restored will you get a different bent and a different material of thought. So when it does show up and the decree goes out and says, you're sick. No, the Bible says he sent his word and healed me and delivered me from my destructions. Jesus bore away my sicknesses and my diseases and carried my pains and my sorrows. And because of the stripes he received before he went to the cross, the scourgings on his back is what brought healing into my life. Well, how does that work? I have no idea, because I didn't do it. My job is just to believe it. Believe it and receive it. Isn't that right? Whatsoever things you believe and receive, you will have. Hallelujah. So when do we consider things? When we hear trouble on the news? You know, defunding the police, nobody should be surprised about that. They've been spending years wanting to defund the military. They're trying to defund the protection over this nation. This is not a surprise. They can't seem to get the guns away from you, so they're going to try to defund any other protection you might have. Amen? When will you consider? When do you look at things? When will you have a declaration of where you stand on issues and situations? What about when you hear something in the air? Oh, you know, bird flu's going around. You know, oh, somebody over in the north end of New Zealand had a case of it. So, you know, you need to be careful. You know, when are you going to consider the truth? I understand these are true facts, but it's not truth. The Word of God is truth. And truth trumps true. Amen. The true facts can change based on your believing of the truth. So when do we consider things? When do we answer those things? When they show up? Do we try to figure things out when they show up? Well, we already settled before they even get there. What do we say to these things? Isn't that what Paul said? What do we say to these things? What do we say to the people? You know, what do we say? Are we going to just debate with people? Or are we going to say to these things? Amen. When we see healing in the Word of God, what will our answer be when sickness comes? And it comes with fear. Because you know the older you get, sickness is going to tell you more and more, this is the killer, this is it. This is the one's going to put you down. Right? You know that. Well, what happens when you see in the Word prosperity, but then lack is in your life? What happens when you see peace in the Word of God, but then anxiety and worry wants to attack you? Is your tongue the pen of a ready writer? Are you writing on your heart what the Word of God says? Or are you letting the news, the situation, and the circumstances write on your heart and tell you the way that it's going to be? Amen. If it be so that you throw us in the furnace, then God is able to deliver us, and He will deliver us. But even if you don't throw us in, we still are not going to serve your God. If you decide to attack me with sickness, you decide to attack me with lack, you decide to attack me with fear and worry, well, God is able and He will deliver me. And if you don't attack me, let me tell you something, you're still not my friend and I am not going to bow and worship you. If you attack me with all of a sudden, I hit the lottery, I don't know how many you hit, but I hit the lottery, bless God, zero. You know, you might hit the lottery and next day you're a multimillionaire. Will that now control your life? I mean, I've known people that said, oh, I tell you what, this thing comes through. This is going to change my life. And I look at them and go, it's not going to change mine. My life's already set, not changing. Are you with me? Amen. Well, what happens if you have no attacks in your life and you're doing well? Does that make you think then now you can live the way you want to? See, because a lot of times Christians, they don't really get on the things of God and the Word of God until they have trouble. So if you're not having trouble, does that mean you can now live the way you want to live? No, because now you're going to open the door to trouble. See, we love God not for what He can do for us. We love God simply for who He is. And that's why you need to get to know Him. And he is someone you can get to know. Amen. We don't love God just for what we want Him to do. We love God because of what He's done. If all He did in your life was that Jesus shed His blood, gave His life, and paid your price for sin in hell, and raised up justified, if that's all He did and you received Him as Lord and Savior to be free from sin and have your eternity secure, if that's all that was ever done, eternity's not long enough to say thank you. Everything else is just perks in the kingdom. All the temporal stuff, the healing, the prosperity, the peace, everything that you have in this life, the increase of your possessions, the fruit of your womb. I mean, all these things. It's perks in the kingdom. We like perks. But we don't live for the perks. We live for the one that paid the price for us. Isn't that right? Amen. Verse 19 and 20. It says, and Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath. Again? And his facial expression was altered toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he answered by giving orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. So he's so full of wrath now that it's actually overflowing into his face. You know, that's when you could say, did you see that look they gave you? If looks could kill. And now he's giving orders to what? Heat up the furnace 7 times hotter. Why? Does that make it hurt more? Doesn't make it hurt anymore. 7 times hotter. No. Why is he doing this? Because he's mad. Oh, I'm mad. I'm so upset. Just like a little kid having a tantrum. Hopefully it's not a 40-year-old having a tantrum. But he's just mad. And what happens when you get mad about stuff? You don't know what to do. He doesn't know what to do. So he says, well, heat it up 7 times hotter. This will scare him. Really? I would think 7 times hotter would be less of a scare. Because if it's lower heat, you're going to burn longer. But if it's high heat, you're going to be disintegrated like in a moment. So I don't know why he thinks this is going to really scare him some more. And you know, he calls for his, where is it? He called for his valiant warrior. Yeah, it says he commanded certain valiant warriors to tie them up and cast them into the fire. He needed valiant warriors for these obvious great aggressors. So he says, tie them up and cast them in. So, I mean, he heats it up 7 times hotter. He don't just throw them in, but they got to tie them up. I mean, is he really afraid of something? Does he think that maybe their God might show up? Is he telling these guys, there's just no way out for you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Look at this. You're tied up. I have valiant warriors. The furnace is 7 times hotter. And I'm going to give the order to throw you in, which, of course, we're way down the road from the original immediately. Yeah. So it's obvious that they're obvious illogical thinking. And they're just directed by intense emotion. Amen. Because that's all the enemy has to deal with you. His intense emotional wrath against you. And illogical thinking, trying to scare you. Boy, he hates it when you stand on the word and go, I ain't moving. You're going to have to move because I'm not. You're going to have to move that sickness out of the way because I'm not. You're going to have to move that lack out of the way because I'm not moving. You have to move that circumstance out of the way because I'm not moving. He hates that. That's when the countenance starts to change. And he has great wrath against you. And then illogical thinking takes over because he's totally emotional. So Nebuchadnezzar is trying to cause fear in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But the bottom line is this. Nebuchadnezzar's the one that's in fear. And that's one thing you need to always remember about your enemy. He's the one that's in fear. If you're standing still and you're being steady and stable on the word of God and you're not moving, he's the one that's in fear. Amen. So he's trying to take the fear that's on him and put it on you. Because if he can get you in fear, it's off of him. Amen. Well, how do you know he's in fear? Because of his intense wrath and illogical thinking. You know the old expression, right? The one who yells the loudest has the most to lose. It's an old expression. Nothing new. He's yelling. Man, he's screaming. He is so mad. Well, he's got the most to lose. What Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got to lose? Nothing. One step out of here, and you're in the presence of the Lord. Yeah, that's a real losing situation, isn't it? Threaten me with heaven. Verse 21 to 23. It says, then these men were tied up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, and their other clothes, and they were cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. And for this reason, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace had been extremely hot, the flame of the fire slew the men that carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. So they're all tied up, they're thrown into the fire, and the ones who cast them into the fire, the valiant warriors. So these are some of Nebuchadnezzar's top guys. Well, they're consumed by the fire because it's so hot that once they open the door, they got consumed. Isn't that right? Which just goes to show the devil don't care for his own. Why do you serve the boy when he don't care about you? When he's done with you, he'll kill you. Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul was going around and casting the devil out of people. So then there were certain exorcists. You know, exorcism is not God, just so you know. So there were certain Jewish exorcists going around, and they're actually in cohorts with the devil. You know, we're going to come around. We're going to do an exorcism. You quiet down. We'll make money, and then we'll leave, and you come back again, and they're going to pay us to come back and do another exorcism. So it was a good money scheme. So when they heard that Paul was going around and casting out devils, they went in and they said to this one man that had a devil, they said, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. And the devil looked at them and said, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but son, who are you? Now you have to understand, these are not God's people. And the devil says, who are you? Because the devil don't even know his own. This is why he don't care about any. Not only does he hate Christians, he hates his own people because he is one that kills, steals, and destroys, and he don't care who he does it to. The devil is the killer. God is the life giver. The devil is the afflicter, but God is the deliverer. Amen? Amen. So it would be important to get into the kingdom as far as we can and get away from the darn fence. Stop playing games around the fence and get into the kingdom, because the further you get in, the more protection there is. Amen. So it says they fell into the furnace of blazing fire and they were still tied up, verse 24. It says, Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded, and he stood up in haste, and he said to his high officials, was it not three men that we cast bound into the midst of the fire? And they replied to the king, certainly, O king. You know, I could see the three stooges. That's who I always see when I read this. Didn't we cast three into the fire? Certainly, O king. You know, because there are a bunch of stooges. And it says that the king was astounded, right? He was amazed. He's in a state of wonderment. And it says that he said to his high priest, okay, it said certainly, okay, verse 25. And he said, look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. So the king's astonished. He stands up. He's immediately jumped to his feet as one that's terrified, frightened, and troubled. Now the king, he had a port, you know, and he had a round window that he could look to and see the people that he cast into the fire. He could see them burn up. How sick is that? He enjoyed watching them get burned up. Yeah. But now he looks in. And he says, I see four men. We threw in three, but now I see four. They're loosed. They're not bound anymore. They're loosed, and they're walking about unhurt by the fire. And there's a fourth man in there with them. Amen. Now, some translations say it is the son of God. This translation says it is the son of the gods. Okay? And what is actually meant by the king is that it is somebody that is a divine person or an angel, just like he states later on that God sent his angel and delivered his servants. You know, in Psalm 46, verse 1, it says that God is a very present help in times of trouble. Well, the Hebrew actually says he's closer than the trouble itself. He is closer than the trouble itself. And that's something we should always remember, that he does not leave us nor forsake us. He's in the storm, he's in the fire, he's in the trouble, he's in the tribulation with us. He is there in the affliction, he's there in the persecution. When sickness attacks us, when lack comes, when fear grips us, he is right there. He is in us, he is on us, he is with us, he goes before us, he stands behind us, he is there beside us. He's closer than the trouble itself. He is God Most High, he's the everlasting Lord, he's the mighty God, the glorious King. He is our God, he is my God, he's the King of glory, and there is absolutely none like him. There is no God like our God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 26 and 27. And Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of blazing fire, and he responded and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out. He's still giving orders. He's still giving orders. You come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. And the satraps, the precepts, the governors, the kings, the high officials gathered around and saw in regard to these men that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was the hair of their head singed, nor was their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come upon them. Not even the smell of smoke. Hallelujah. You know, you talk to some people that got delivered from some things by the power of God, and they'll tell you, oh, I tell you what, I went through it. Oh, it was bad. It was rough. Quit talking about your smoke. You came out not smelling, but now you're talking, and it stinks. And people want to glorify more of what the devil did than what God does. When very simply, it's God delivered me, praise God, I'm free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's that simple. They didn't even have the smell of fire. They were in the fire, but the fire had no effect. They were in the circumstances, but the circumstances don't have to have any effect. Just because you go through something doesn't mean that it has you. You could be free spiritually, soulishly, emotionally, mentally, naturally. Because this is the deliverance of God. Yes. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 28. It says, Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is the one that he said, who's going to deliver you out of my hands? Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who put their trust in him, violating the king's command and yielding up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their own God. So the question comes down as to who do you consider to be the king's command? What do you think is king in your life that you should obey it? Are you waiting for a public government announcement to say you can do something, or are you going to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit? Now, I'm not talking about being rebellious, so get that out of your thinking. You know, a lot of you can have a rebellious streak in you, and we're not talking about rebellion. Because you can walk in the things of God, disobey what the government says, and still do it in love. Rebellion is not love. This is not about, well, I'm just not going to do what the government says. That's what the government said. I ain't doing what they said. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about God and his word says thus and so, and now there's an opposing law that's come against it. And you're required to obey God. This is the whole reason you're on the verge of a socialistic government and a tyrannical government in this world, in this country, because the church through the years did not stand up for the laws of God, and they let the government make laws against the things of God. And now you're on the verge of socialism, tyranny, and outright communism. And that's why the Word of God says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their evil ways. One of the greatest evils the church has is they won't stand up for God. Another evil the church has is that they want to vote for their convenience and what they think is their benefit rather than what would be a benefit for the nation and for God. Another evil is that the church depends on the government to meet their needs rather than God that supplies all their needs. The church has forgotten about sowing and reaping, about planting and harvesting, about receiving back from the Lord according to his riches and glory rather than some government program. Listen, nothing wrong. If a government, you know, if you need a program, a government program, then use it, but it's not your answer. You don't live on it forever. You use it just as a way to get through something and get to where you need to be. Exactly. Amen. 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 So we're talking about standing up for the things of God and what the Word of God has to say. To whom do we yield our body? He said, violating the king's command and yielded up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their own God. Whom do we yield up our bodies to? Deliverance is for those that put their trust in the God in whom they serve with their life. You know, one of the most misquoted scriptures is in Revelation, where it says, and they overcame him by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Well, that's only two-thirds of the verse. You left off the other part. They overcame him by the word, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they didn't love their life or their own soul even until death. See why? Because they had a reality of eternity. You leave your body, that's not the end of living. You just stepped into the best part of your living if you're going in the right place. Well, I heard everybody that dies goes to the light. Well, do they stay there? Because the light is the place of judgment. Now, if you know Jesus as Lord of your life, you'll stay there. But if you don't, you don't. Then you won't. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. You know, ask my former Buddhist wife about that. She served Buddha all her life. Half of her life. Nothing but a deadhead statue. Never spoke to her. Never helped her. Never guided her. No matter how many gold flake things you put on the altar and how many birds you released in the name of Buddha, nothing ever worked. But then she met Jesus. And the first day she met Jesus, he spoke to her. And she realized she served the dead God all of her life. But now she's serving the living one. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 29 says, the king says, therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses reduced to a rubbish heap, inasmuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way. See, that's the ultimate purpose of miracles, gifts, and the move of God. It's to reach the lost. That is the whole purpose of it. It's not so you could feel better. Go on, believe in God for a miracle. Why? Because I need, I want, I have to have. Sorry. What's the purpose of miracles? What's the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit? What's the purpose of the move of God? It's to reach the lost. The Bible says, and God gave gifts to the church, not so the church can play church. He gave gifts to the church so the gifts can move through the church and reach the lost. And for too long, the church has just played church. Just like little, you know, when my grandkids were real small, Justin, he would be the preacher. And he would make Damon play the keyboard. And Damon had to take up the offering. And Justin was the preacher. Because we would have to bring, you know, the mom worked every day, so we took care of them every day, so we'd bring them to the office with us. And that's what they would do. They would play church. Well, the church has played church for too long. Why go to this church? Because I just like the music you play in church. Why go to this church? Because I like the decorations. It's playing church. I go to this church because it forces me to change. Ooh. What church is that? I'm going to make sure I don't go there. Yeah. But you know, change is good. If you're driving a car and you're headed towards a cliff, wouldn't you like somebody to come on the radio and say, turn right, step on the brake, you need some change here because you're going over the edge? Change is good. You know, if you are living in Florida and you're working for a company and they've offered you a job in, let's say, Nevada, and it's going to triple your salary and have better living conditions, would you go?
Oh, yes.
Yes, see? See? And yet all that is going to require change. You're going to change your friends. You're going to change your living location. You're going to change the place you work. You're going to change a lot of things. But you're doing it all based on one thing, money, because of the money, right? So why would we want to change when it comes to the things of God? Well, there is money. It's called prosperity. There is health. There is peace, great freedom from worry and anxiety. There is joy in the kingdom. There's just all kinds of things that we're all scratching and scraping at for, and yet it's all right there in the kingdom, in abundance. Amen? All right, let's end here in verse 30. It says, then the king caused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. See, there is a great recompense of reward. The Bible says the faithful will abound with blessings and the diligent will be made fat. Amen. You know, great recompense. You know, our life needs to be a life that shows off that there is no God like our God. This goes beyond words. This is not just speaking some theology or some doctrine. This is actually having to be able to give life to other people. Lay hands on the sick. You know, that don't just happen in church. That should happen every place. Why are gifts given to the church? So that you can go touch the world. That when you're in the vegetable department of Walmart, you can pray for somebody to be healed. You know, I knew this one fella, and he was talking to another guy, and they were actually at the meat department in like a Winn-Dixie or something, and he was talking about getting filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. And the guy was interested, and he says, well, let's do it right now, and let's pray. He goes, right here in the meat department? No, don't we need to be in church? No, you don't need to. Oh, dear God. Oh, you don't need to. That's all ritualistic stuff. God is right there to talk to. Isn't that right? You can do it in the meat department, the produce department. You can do it driving a go-kart. Amen. Hallelujah. There's no God like our God. There is no God like our God. And we need to set our trust in Him. He's the one that we serve. He's the one that we give ourselves to. Isn't that right? Amen. Amen. And He's the one that we allow to move through us, move for us, be on us, be with us. He's behind us. He's in front of us. He's to the side of us. He's our helper, our counselor. He's our encourager. He is our strength. He's all that we need. Amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, go ahead and bless the Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. We give you all the glory and all the honor. Wonderful, wonderful are you, Jesus. There is none like you, Lord God. None like you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now remember, this is the last Sunday of the month, so we have service tonight, 6 o'clock. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I want to just remind you that if we don't have your email or if you've changed your email, please update your email addresses. There's papers out on the table in the foyer underneath the TV. If you would fill that out, we want to keep your name on the email list so that you can get events, schedules, special announcements, and you can get blogs that get sent out and it'll go right into your email, okay? And remember that all the flash drives for every service is always available for purchase. It's only $4 for a flash drive, and there's a sign-up form out there also on the table in the foyer that you can sign up for a flash drive if you want them, okay? May 19th is going to be the final meeting for the ladies' retreat. It'll be after the morning service, and at that time, all monies will be due, and roommates will be finalized. So that will be May 19th. So what's that? Just a couple weeks away. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you and honor you. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you that you're more than enough. Father, I thank you for the great opportunity that you have given to us and afforded to us, that we can come before you with our giving, whether it be with our tithe, whether it be with seed sowing, whether it be with bringing our first fruits. I thank you, Father, that you have promised in your word. In fact, only in the area of finances have you said to prove you. That we can prove you that your word is true. That because we bring the tithes and the offerings into the storehouse, you said that you'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing till there's not room enough to receive it. You said that you would rebuke the devourer for our sake, that he'll not destroy the fruits of our ground. And you said that we will be a blessed people. So, Father, I thank you for the promise that we can take hold of your promise, that as we do, Father, sow our seed, we declare what your word says and that you watch over your word to perform it. And I thank you for that and press you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you need